It's Curtain Call. I'm Charles Sipos. Welcome to today's program. In the first of two segments today, I'll be speaking with activist musician Cy Khan. He's here to talk about his new romantic musical comedy, imagine that, Silver Spoon, April 19th through May 5th at Main Stage West, as well as his April 23rd birthday benefit concert celebrating the first anniversary of Main Stage West. In the second segment, I'll be speaking with directors, choreographers Kristen Daly and Nancy Lyons, who preview the 2012 Spring Dance Concert, April 20th through 28th at Everett B. Person Theater, Sonoma State University. All this comes up after NPR News, which is next on KRCB.
From NPR News in Washington, I'm Lakshmi Singh. The former Neighborhood Watch volunteer charged in the death of an unarmed black teenager in Florida is being released on $150,000 bond while he awaits trial. George Zimmerman testified during his bond hearing today, which included an apology to Trayvon Martin's parents. The prosecution swiftly questioned the timing of Zimmerman's apology, and the Martin family's attorney rejected the apology as self-serving. But the defendant maintains he shot the teen in self-defense. NPR's Greg Allen reports Zimmerman's family also appealed to the court today to grant bail.
George Zimmerman's wife, Shelley, said that he's not a flight risk, that he's not a violent person. His father said this much of the same thing. His mother testified on his behalf, saying that he'd worked as a mentor for a young African-American teenager, and that he also had worked organizing aid for a homeless man who'd been beaten in the town of Sanford.
NPR's Greg Allen. Norway's confessed mass killer Anders Behring Breivik has been telling a court exactly how he murdered some of his victims. 77 people died in last year's attacks, most of them youths. NPR's Philip Reeves says survivors listened to Breivik's account in horror.
Breivik's testimony was relayed to nearby courtrooms where survivors and relatives of the victims had gathered. They sobbed and hugged as the Norwegian described how he mowed down panic-stricken teenagers at a youth summer camp on a small island outside Oslo. Breivik said some of them were so paralyzed with fear they stood perfectly still and couldn't run. Breivik said he couldn't recall parts of the rampage, but he described some killings in gruesome detail. He remembered shooting young people as they begged for their lives. He also spoke of his emotions after arriving on the island, disguised as a policeman, before opening fire. "My whole body tried to revolt when I took the weapon in my hand," he said. "There were 100 voices in my head saying, 'Don't do it.'" Philip Reeves, NPR News.
The World Health Organization is urging couples to seek HIV testing together. And if one partner is infected, NPR's Richard Knox says, the WHO recommends antiviral treatment to protect the uninfected partner.
Up to now, the WHO has emphasized HIV testing for individuals. Now it says couples should get tested together so both partners know the results. When one partner is infected, that person should start taking HIV drugs, even if they're not yet medically necessary. That's because recent research shows treatment usually prevents transmission to the uninfected partner. The WHO says many new infections around the world occur in couples where one partner is infected, but most people don't know their HIV status. The new recommendation expands the number of people eligible for treatment with HIV drugs, which cost about $100 a year in developing countries. Right now, nearly 7 million are on treatment, about half the eligibles. Richard Knox, NPR News.
Dow's up 75 points. This is NPR.
It's KRCB's California Update. I'm Mark Brell. The leader of the state Senate is calling for several changes to California's century-old initiative process. Ben Adler has more on Democrat Daryl Steinberg's comments to the Sacramento Press Club Thursday.
There are three changes Steinberg wants to make. First, allow the legislature to place a basic initiative, as opposed to a constitutional amendment, on the ballot through majority vote. Right now, it requires a two-thirds supermajority, and last year, Republicans blocked a vote on Governor Jerry Brown's tax proposal.
I don't think the minority party should trump the will of the people. And that's what occurs now when you can't even, with a majority vote, place a question before the voters.
Second, Steinberg wants to allow a measure's proponents to negotiate with the governor and legislature to either amend the initiative or pass a law without going to voters at all. And finally, the senator proposes letting lawmakers amend or repeal an initiative after 10 years. Steinberg says he's prepared to put his proposals on the 2014 ballot using the initiative process. At the state capitol, I'm Ben Adler.
Students and staff from private universities are protesting Governor Jerry Brown's proposed cuts to the Cal Grant program. Some appeared Thursday at a Senate Budget Subcommittee hearing addressing the plan. Currently, students at private schools can receive up to $9,700 a year. Brown proposes cutting that to $4,000 for students at for-profit schools and about $5,400 for students at private nonprofit schools. Ruben Gonzalez is a junior at University of Redlands.
I don't know how I would come up with that money if it would happen, so that would probably push me to become more of a part-time student and a full-time worker, which means that I wouldn't graduate in the 4 years.
The saving from the proposals is estimated at around $300 million. The State Department of Finance says the goal is to focus resources on students most likely to graduate and on students at public institutions. The Senate committee took no action on the proposals. That's the California Update from KRCB Public Radio. I'm Mark Prell.
Here on the streets of Brooklyn, she's saying someday it's gonna be alright. Talking about the party and the people's fight. Not the kind of party we could have tonight. Here on the streets of Brooklyn.
Everybody knows where your old man worked. Cutting out the pieces to make the shirts. Saying how the boss treats him just like dirt. Here on the streets of Brooklyn. They'd see him every day as he was coming back. Walking like a king down the trolley track. Schmaltz herring in a paper sack. Here on the streets of Brooklyn.
Brooklyn gave me life. Brooklyn gave me dreams. Brooklyn gave me everything except the ways and means. When I'm lost and angry, when I'm all alone, Brooklyn takes me in. Brooklyn takes me home.
Danny, you need a haircut. First thing tomorrow morning, I'm taking you to the barbershop.
I've been on my own for over a year. I'll go to the barbershop when I feel like it.
On the street they say, how you doing, kid? They think you speak Yiddish because your grandma did. Crazy sayings like, was macht die Yid? Here on the streets of Brooklyn, it sort of means, so what's new with you? They say it in the shul and in the steam room too. Everything they do, they say they did for you. Here on the streets of Brooklyn.
Here on these familiar streets and avenues. They know everything you ever did or that you're gonna do.
Yeah, everybody knows where you're gonna go. Working with your mom at the cut and sew. Knowing all the things that the old men know. Here on the streets of Brooklyn.
Everybody says you got dues to pay. Everybody knows that you're here to stay. Even if you try, you'll never get away. Far from the streets of Brooklyn.
Brooklyn gave me life. Brooklyn gave me dreams. Brooklyn gave me everything except the ways and means. When I'm lost and angry, when I'm all alone, Brooklyn takes me in. Brooklyn takes me home.
Brooklyn takes me home.
Brooklyn Takes Me Home. That's a selection from Act Two of Silver Spoon. It's a new musical, in fact, a new romantic musical comedy, and it's running April 19th through May 5th at Main Stage West. The composer is Cy Kahn, and he's with me in studio. Hi, Cy.
Hey, Charles, how are you? I'm happy to be back in the studio. Happy to be back on your show.
Great, great pleasure to have you
on.
But
I'm feeling for the people who want to see it on April 19th because it's actually a little late for that. They're going to have to come tonight for opening night.
Oh, yeah, in fact. Okay, well, it still runs from April 19th through May 5th.
Well, there's a past tense pluperfect subjunctive in there.
That's what I intended.
I knew that immediately. I knew it was good to be back.
Okay, so I'm going to put this in context. And to do that, I would like to play something that we might know you a little bit better for, if I could. May
I? Of course, you get it.
Okay.
Just as long as I can remember, every 4 years about November, folks who wouldn't talk to me on the street are coming in my house and wiping their feet, kissing my wife, kissing my babies. Well, I guess they'd even kiss my old mule if she hadn't voted for Roosevelt. Now they shake my hand and they smile and say, I'd like to have your vote come election day. Now you don't need to know where I stand, just vote for me as many times as you can. That'll be $10 now and $10 more, just every time that you vote. Now I promise you that if I'm elected, I'll raise the dead and have them resurrected. I'll fix your road, put a bridge on your creek, and sweep out your cow barn myself twice a week. Now there just might be something to that, 'cause I ain't never seen nobody else that can shovel that stuff as fast as a politician. The election's coming, the road's still muddy. You try to find your old good buddy. He's up at the courthouse grinding his axes. Only thing won't get cut is your taxes. I've been sliced this way so many times, I'm starting to look like a tomato. The hand you shook behind the plow, that hand is in your pocket now. You look for your mule and find it's missing. Better start hunting that politician. But there's one good thing, if it weren't for politicians, the rest of us folks wouldn't have nothing else to laugh at except Nixon.
Talking Politician, it's from Cy Kahn's CD called New Wood. Well, that's a little bit more familiar to most of us. It's what we know Cy Kahn for. Well, maybe
sensitive,
other things too,
but... Sensitive love songs about interpersonal relationships like that song we just heard.
Indeed.
Indeed.
So Cy Kahn is with me. We know him as activist and musician, but of late he has been appearing at Main Stage West, and in fact he's ensconced there.
Oh, does
that
mean
at least at times?
They ensconce me like with the silver candlesticks, you know, for
the
line from Yeats: "Once when every silver candlestick and those ensconce lit up the dark mahogany and the wine."
Is there dark mahogany at Main Stage West?
I think it's actually a Brecht play, but I think they pronounce it mahogany.
All right, Cy Kahn is with me, and we're here not to talk about. Well, we are here to talk about Main Stage West. We're not here to talk about his previous activism. We're here to talk about his present activism. So, Cy Kahn, how did you get into writing musical theater?
Ah, that's a good question. Well, you know, Robin and I were comparing rabbinical fathers and stepfathers before the show, and my dad was the rabbi at Penn State in the 40s and 50s.
Is that true?
Right. Yes, actually it is. And in those days, Penn State wasn't a university, it was a college, it was a land-grant school at Cal College. And there were maybe 6,000 students at the college and maybe 7,000 people living in this tiny little mountain community. And the only thing to do for entertainment was to go and listen to the musicals that the Penn State Theater Department put on. So I grew up on Oklahoma and Guys and Dolls and South Pacific. I could still sing them from end to end.
Right? All right.
And I loved them as song, as drama. And then as I got older, as I became an organizer and activist, I started realizing that the musicals that I loved best were actually very serious political dramas. I mean, what is Pajama Game about? It's about unionization, about a strike, about cross-class relationships, and ultimately about industrial sabotage, right? It actually is. Mm. What is The King and I about? It's about interracial romance. And in fact, you know, when the core song that deals with issues of race, which is "You've Got to Be Taught to Be Afraid of People Whose Eyes Are Oddly Made, of People Whose Skin Is a Different Shade." That was so controversial in the early 40s when it came out that the cast recording dropped the song. It was that controversial.
Really?
So I realized that that for me, what I had thought were just wonderful, romantic, you know, I mean, this is a little kid's view. This is an 8-year-old's, a 10-year-old's view. But that they actually had dealt with very serious political subjects, but in ways that could slide it past you if you weren't necessarily a political person. So I became fascinated with musical theater as a political art form that could communicate very broadly to people who are not necessarily think of themselves as political, who don't necessarily think of themselves as feminists or activists or queer uprisers or the self-definitions of politics. And that, you know, if a farm family from Iowa, a state I like a lot, could go to Broadway and come home whistling songs from like 7.5 cents doesn't mean a heck of a lot, you know, that maybe I could do something comparable. So actually 30 years ago, I started writing romantic musical comedies about serious political subjects. Now, I've done some others. You know, we had the extraordinary John McCutcheon in his first dramatic role. You all came to see the show in Joe Hill's amazing. Last. Well, that's not a romantic musical comedy. Although I think his love affair, which probably did not actually happen, but maybe happened emotionally with Elizabeth Gurley Flynn, that is also at heart. There is a love story at the heart of the show. So that's how I got into this. I also just love the form. I just love musicals. Yeah, I go to see them. I play them, and I think it's not completely an art form developed within the United States, but I think in the sense of the evolution of the musical, that really did take place here, like jazz, which has African roots and European roots. The musical, the book musical, is invented by Rodgers and Hammerstein. The musical that tells a story is a particularly American art form, and I love being a part of it.
Mm. So how does this new romantic musical comedy of yours, Silver Spoon, fit in to this to this sort of scenario that you're talking about of writing musicals, and especially romantic comedic ones, and telling a story and also getting at something deeper?
Mm-hmm. Well, I mean, here I have to give great, great credit to my co-author, Amy Merrill, who created the original story and wrote the book. Although, you know, her lines show up in my songs, my lines show up in her script. It's a very collaborative, sometimes combative relationship to co-create. But I mean, Amy created the basic framework for the story. And the setting is in California, although it takes place in New York. The backstory is in California, which I hope, you know, that's where we are, right? So the story takes place in 1969 and 1970. It is set against the background of the international boycott of table grapes, mm-hmm. led by Cesar Chavez, Dolores Huerta, and the United Farm Workers of America. So that's happening here in California, although the story takes place on the Upper East Side and in Brooklyn. And I think, Charles, in the context question that you asked, what Amy did was to create characters who are lovable and difficult. They are very human-scale characters. Now, this is interesting because one of them is the CEO of the founder and owner of the country's largest brokerage house and also the personal owner of the company's largest grocery chain, supermarket chain. And his granddaughter is living two lives. She's the heir apparent to the company, and she's the editor of the Walden Free Press, which we all remember is New York's leading underground newspaper. And then
secretively,
not secretively to her grandfather, but secretively to her boyfriend, who
really?
Is a crazy young Jewish activist who is the boycott organizer in New York City, but not so secretly to his mother, who is the daughter of an immigrant woman who worked at the Triangle Shirtwaist Factory, but thank God was late to work on the day of the fire, and who has been a lifetime garment worker, and who is the leader of her union local, and who lives in Brooklyn and is proud, Brooklyn proud, and who has a secret life that I will not disclose on the air. So these characters are, I think, I hope they're prototypes rather than stereotypes. And what I think Amy did with such great skill is to balance them. It is so easy to take any of these four types of characters and make something that's paper thin, this two-dimensional. And Amy created human beings that, I mean, it's that I think makes the show in a some way challenging for audiences, because the corporate leader is actually very lovable.
What's the difference to the audience between prototypes and stereotypes?
Wow, that is a good question. I think with a stereotype, you bring in those people who identify with a stereotypical visualization of a person. So, for example, if somebody believes that all corporate leaders are evil people in and of themselves, then if you draw the stereotypical evil boss, you know, with the dollar signs and gruff and mean to everybody, they'll say, that's exactly what they're like. And that meets their emotional needs. If you have a prototype, then I think you, at least I hope, that you've created a real human being, and that people who perhaps are CEOs of corporations say, you know, I don't agree with everybody he did, but, you know, they actually were pretty fair to who I am and what I do. I mean, we tried essentially to be very fair, because I think theater, I do write agitprop. I mean, I do have to say that. I mean, I write songs that are, you know, throw the bosses out. You know, get some of those songs, the song we play, Talking Politician, it's not a prototype. That's a stereotype. That's right. But I think that the prototypes are that they share the essentials. You know, at the heart of every stereotype, there is some truth. But my experience of activists, of organizers, of trade union leaders, of corporate leaders, is people are wonderfully complex and wonderfully multidimensional. And that's what I think Amy and I really work to create. We want the audience to go home having identified with at least one of the characters, maybe with more than one, having thought, oh, God, she's just like my mother. And I love my mother, and she wasn't easy to live with. You know, or she's just like my kid. Oh, God, I got to do something about her. You know, that theater, I think, at its best, brings the audience onto the stage. And you participate emotionally. You share the characters' ups and downs. And everybody finds somebody to identify with. Hopefully, if we polled the audience, one quarter of the audience would identify with each character.
Hmm.
So I think that's at least what we're trying to do. It's a very good question.
What I'm hearing is that a stereotype might be easy to dismiss. Oh, that's just a stereotype. Mm-hmm. It's just a caricature. Whereas in the kind of character that you're talking about as a prototype, it's an engaging character that draws the audience in and actually engages the audience.
You know, Charles, if I had known that's what you were going to say, I would have asked you to answer the question rather than attempting myself. That's a much better answer.
I think that's exactly true.
Exactly. Well, it's, you know, it's conversation. And so I'm wondering, do you intend any conversation around this piece? Will there be, you know, will there be an opportunity for the audience to discuss it at any point, or are you inviting that in any way on social media?
You know, we have not done that. It's actually a wonderful idea. We have had talkbacks at a number of performances. I don't think we have a formal talkback. I can promise you, in the foyer after the show, there will be lots of talking back. You know, I would love it if somebody would do that. I'm not going to volunteer myself. It's all I can do to keep up with what I've got to do. But, yeah, I mean, I hope those discussions take place. But, yeah, we should think about that. Maybe you all would like to sponsor a forum of discussion at some point. I would love something like that. Part of what's magical is when you hear what people heard, saw, felt, experienced as a part of something that you've helped create, and it's so different from what you expect.
Hmm. I'm talking with activist musician Cy Khan, and we're talking about his new romantic musical comedy, Silver Spoon, April 19th through May 5th at Main Stage West. And something else is coming up on Monday the 23rd, and it's your birthday.
Oh, you remembered.
Happy birthday.
Oh, thank you.
I had a reminder.
Oh, yeah, it's my 68th birthday. I am so proud of that. I worked so hard for these gray hairs. Let me tell you, Rod Stewart says every picture tells a story.
Yes.
So does every gray hair.
Yeah, I'm sure.
Yeah, okay, we don't have time because I have a lot of hair left. So
you took the words right out of my mouth. But what's happening on Monday?
I am throwing myself a birthday party for 75 of my closest about to be friends at Main Stage West, and we're doing something I've always wanted to do, which is it's sort of, we didn't use the official title, but it's an intimate evening with PsyCon. Don't get the wrong idea. Right? I'm hopelessly monogamous. I have a wonderful 35-year marriage and partnership. But it'll be intimate in the sense that I will be telling stories. It's not quite performance. There's a type of musical performance. It is very much performance. It's performative. And where I think sometimes there is a distance between the performer and the audience. I want to break down that distance Monday night. And because we are doing it as a fundraiser for Main Stage West, I'm very proud of this. I came up with all these great ideas for what people can do. First, what they could do is come to the evening, and I think they better get their reservations pretty quick.
Let me give the website, and this is a way you can make those reservations. You can go to mainstagewest.com. So that's pretty easy.
So we are going to offer all kinds of special awards for different levels of support. Can I say the levels of support?
Sure, why not?
Okay, so let's start at the top. For a $1,500 tax deductible, that's T-A-X-D-E, et cetera, tax deductible contribution to Main Stage West, I will do a private concert in your home or wherever else you'd like me to do it, for like 25 of your friends. And it'll be, there will be no amps, there'll be no microphones. The people can make up the set list,
Unplugged.
Unplugged, right? Deeply unplugged. And it has to be at a time when I'm on the West Coast. If somebody says, oh, great, we live in Alaska. Actually, I'll be in Alaska. I could do Alaska. But Saskatchewan, I'm not so sure. What I'll say to people is, we'll get 25 of your friends to put up $75 each of them contribute. So there's a whole range of kind of amazing and wonderful things that will be available only on my birthday.
Fantastic. There's one other one that I'm charmed by, and that's the $1,000 level.
Yes. This is, I will write a song for you, right? This is, I've been doing this for years, like friends get married, I interview each of them and then I write a song that is for them, And so let's say somebody says, my parents are having their 50th wedding anniversary. I want to give them a song. So I will, take notes. It's musical journalism. As musicians, we're journalists. We take stories. We take notes. We write our stories. And I will give them a good recording. I want to be clear. I'm not giving up the copyright. Right, but they get the song. Somebody could say, "Oh, I want to send a song to myself. I'm cool. Whatever it is, happy to do." So I'm actually kind of proud of this because I think they're nice ways of melding artistry with fundraising, and there's this partnership between all of us in the nonprofit world and the politically progressive world, between you and Robin and the station, and if it weren't for community radio, listener supported radio, public radio, half of my friends in music wouldn't be making a living, mm-hmm. And so I think I am in so called retirement, exploring and trying to push the boundaries of the relationship between public media, public art, artists, musicians, and how together we build a liberated zone of creativity and progressive politics. And I think all of these things should fit together and can fit together.
PsyCon celebrates his 68th birthday on Monday with a birthday benefit concert celebrating the first anniversary of Main Stage West. For more information, you can go to the website at mainstagewest.com.
And maybe we should do the song What a Party from Silver Spoon, which is not exactly about my birthday, but it is about what a party.
So let's contextualize this. We were talking earlier in the segment of Curtain Call about Silver Spoon, which is PsyCon's new romantic musical comedy. It runs April 19th, that's last night, through May 5th at Main Stage West. And for more information about that, you can go to the website, mainstagewest.com.
And just to put the song in context, this comes in the second act, and the Danny Horowitz, the fiery young organizer, and his mother, Marilyn Horowitz, are arguing over her leadership role in the party.
Because of the party, you've had a very good
because
life.
Because of the party, I've had a very good
you
life.
You went to Camp Kinderland, it hardly cost me a dime.
I went to Camp Kinderland, it hardly cost you a dime.
You met Pete Seeger in person, what more could you ask?
I met Pete Seeger in person, what more could I ask?
Learned some good songs, and you had a very good time.
Learned some good songs, and I had a very good time.
What a party!
What a party!
Such a party!
Such a party!
Yourself.
Here in the party, you learn how to think for yourself.
Learn to take leadership, learn how to say what you mean.
Learn to take leadership, learn how to say what you mean.
Here I am, Marilyn, never went past the 10th
there
grade.
There you are, my mom, who never went past the 10th grade.
Yet I'm the recognized leader in Brooklyn and Queens. Comrades!
Who else would take the job?
So maybe Stalin's not perfect, I ask you who
not
is.
Not perfect? Ma, he murdered 30 million people.
Maybe he just had some really hard times as a kid.
I gotta get out of here.
You can't believe everything that the New York Times writes.
Better than memorizing every line of the Daily Worker.
That's no good reason to drop out like so many did.
The question is, why haven't you dropped out? Where are your principles?
Values and principles, easy to talk about them. Your life means nothing if you don't stand up for a cause. Only your loyalty really expresses your worth. That's why I'm still in the party despite all its flaws. Joseph McCarthy, may God put a curse on his soul. Made it so hard to continue the work that I do. No one will touch us these days with a 7-foot pole. Who will step forward to lift up my torch if not you? What a party!
What a party!
Such a party!
Such a party!
What a party. It's one of the songs from Act Two of Silver Spoon, a new romantic musical comedy by Cy Khan. It's running April 19th through May 5th at Main Stage West. That means it's running right now, so you can go tonight or any other night that's available. For more information, you can go to mainstagewest.com. Cy Khan has been my guest. We've also been talking about his birthday benefit concert. That's his 68th birthday that he's celebrating along with the first anniversary of Main Stage West on Monday evening. For more information, you can go to the website as well. Don't forget the website is Main Stage West. Well, Cy, this is really exciting. Another stage work from you, and we're really looking forward to this.
Oh, thanks so much. You know, and I'm so proud to be the artist in residence at Main Stage West. You know,
ensconced
ensconced, lit up, and you know, and Elizabeth Craven, the wonderful founder and artistic director, abbreviates it as AIR, A-I-R, Artist in Residence. So I want to start this category of people who are like fans who are airheads. And you're like, I'm proud to be an airhead.
And you're carrying around a MacBook Air. I am.
It is so lightweight. Listen, it's great.
But you're not.
No. Thank you. Charles, it's wonderful. Thank you so much for having me back on the show. It's always wonderful to be here. It's a great pleasure. And I will be back more times. We've got a couple of secret shows coming up. We're not going to even tell people what they are. But
Well, let us know with a little advance.
Oh, yes, we will.
Cy, thanks for coming on.
Thanks.
We're going out with the last selection in Silver Spoon. It's called In California, the reprise of that song. Silver Spoon runs from April 19th through May 5th at Main Stage West. And don't forget Cy's birthday benefit concert on Monday evening at Main Stage West. For more information, mainstagewest.com.
Stay here beside me, wait for the sunrise till it comes home. Fields wet with dew, over the mountains, lighting the grapevines. I feel it reaching for me and for you.
Silver Spoon runs tonight, actually. Tonight is opening night through May 5th at Main Stage West. And April 23rd is Psy's 68th birthday and a birthday benefit concert for the first anniversary of Main Stage West. I have a pair of tickets. This is for your choice of performances of Silver Spoon. We'll take caller number 5 to 584-2020. Caller number 5 to 584-2020. You get your choice of performance for a pair of free tickets to Silver Spoon tonight through May 5th at Main Stage West. And I just want to mention that Psy will be there tonight and tomorrow night, so you get to meet and greet him if you go. I'm Charles Sipos. It's Curtain Call on KRCB Santa Rosa.
Hangs like fruit upon the tree. It calls to you. Like grapes upon the vine, and ripens like the finest wine. In California, the future waits and light is time, shining like the grapes upon the vine. In California, they ask only that we act on what we know. Join together, we will go.
From Silver Spoon at Main Stage West in Sebastopol, opening tonight, the West Coast premiere of Psy Khan's new romantic musical comedy with a lefty bent. It's Curtain Call. I'm Robin Pressman, engineering today for Charles Sipos, and going to take just a moment to introduce you to Erica Luckett and Lisa Ferrano, who are performing on Saturday night at the Occidental Center for the Arts. Two great voices, one masterful guitar. The two are a pair who found each other in singing and were here in our studio earlier this week. Let's just take a listen to Erica Luckett and Lisa Ferrano, Saturday night, Occidental Center for the Arts.
Gracias a la vida que me ha dado tanto. Media dos luceros, que cuando los abro, perfecto distingo lo negro del blanco, y en el alto cielo su fondo estrellado. Y en las multitudes, el hombre que yo amo. Gracias a la vida que me ha dado tanto. Con ellos anduve. Ciudades y charcos, playas y desiertos, montañas y llanos, y la casa tuya, tu calle y tu patio. Gracias a la vida que me tanto, me dio el corazón
Lisa Ferraro and Erica Luckett in concert. They were here in studio, and that's what we're listening to. They're in concert Saturday evening at 8 o'clock. That's at the Occidental Center for the Arts Auditorium. For more information, you can go to occidentalcenterforthearts.org. I'm Charles Sipos. It's Curtain Call on KRCB. And with me in this segment are three guests to talk about the 2012 Spring Dance Concert at Sonoma State University. It's April 20th through 28th at Everett B. Person Theater. With me are directors and choreographers Kristen Daly. Hi, Kristen.
Hi.
Nancy Lyons, who's a not infrequent guest here on,
yes,
on Curtain Call.
Yes, we've been here
before. And a new guest, Jessica Houston, one of the dancers. Welcome.
Hi. Thank you.
A pleasure to have you all on.
Thank you for having us.
And this sounds like quite an event. Like, you know, not your typical dance concert. Am I right?
Yes.
Okay, you're all shaking your heads.
Yes. No one can see.
Use your words. Okay, so how is it different?
Well, I think one of the things that interesting is three of the choreographers were independently interested in how technology is affecting the body and affecting dance and pursued it each in their own way. So you have three different points of view about cell phones, technology. How is that impacting young people? How is it impacting the society?
Right. Okay. Right. And who are the choreographers before we go on?
So I have a new piece, and Nancy Lyons has a new piece. And then we have two guest choreographers who each have a company in San Francisco, Christine Calley and Scott Wells. And we all made work on our Sonoma State students, and we started rehearsals in the end of January, and we opened tonight.
Yes.
So how many students are there? How many student dancers?
I don't think there's more than 30. It's a
30, though. That's a lot.
It seems like a lot. I mean, fall dance at Sonoma State's a lot bigger. There are like 60 people backstage, and we're all running around. So this feels relatively intimate, which is nice. And there's a lot of camaraderie, and this show is so different in that from some of the college shows that I've seen, there hasn't been a lot of integration of text, and I feel like all of these ideas are so articulate and well thought out, and it shows through all of the dancers' bodies, and it's just so. Oh, you guys just have to see it.
It is multidisciplinary. So there's text, there's music, there's video. There's a voiceover work. So there's a lot of different ways to help the audience get into the dance. And then it's dancing for dancing, but it's also their intellectual ideas, emotional ideas, psychological ideas, bringing really big questions about where are we going as a society? How are we evolving? What is going to happen next with this sort of 24-hour, 7 days a week technology that we are in, you know, always driven to check, to watch, to be in. So
you brought some music.
Yes,
I bet. I bet the music is telling. We have something queued up already.
Right. I think what we have queued up. So I was fortunate enough to work with a Bay Area composer and musician, Jesse Olson Bay. He also works for us at Sonoma State, an accompanist, and teaches some of our choreography classes. And he's an amazing musician, and he was commissioned to make all the music for the piece. And the piece is about 18 minutes, and he has four very distinct sections. And what's very important in this is that everything he made were recordings of the human voice, because mm-hmm. I was really interested in technology and are we becoming more connected, less connected with all these virtual sites? And he thought it'd be really interesting, since I was so focused on technology, to really come back to the human voice.
So, Kristen Daly,
yes.
What's the name of your piece?
My name of my piece is called Interface.
Mm-hmm. Sounds kind of hip hoppy.
Yeah, it's not. It's that's.
And techy.
Yeah, but and yet, and it's all made human. From the human voice, and he just sort of layered it and mixed it and played with it.
Very sweet.
Yeah, it's it really was inspiring for me once I heard it.
So, Jessica, are you in this piece?
Yes, I am.
Okay, and so, how does this translate into movement?
The songs that Jesse composed for us they're all so different, and they bring out the various portions of the piece and the different areas and themes that Kristen was working with. In this piece, I feel. I feel like the hip-hoppiness, the hot, the upbeat, the multi-layer really adds to the vivacity and the constant go, go, go that technology delivers in our society.
Yeah, yeah.
And so we mimic that through movement. It's really athletic. It's really forward-going.
Just trying to stay with everyone.
Exactly. Trying to keep up.
Oh, no, it's a new technology. I've got to learn it.
Oh, my gosh.
Something new.
The other iPhone came out. I need to get it now. Where's my iPad? I need to update it on iTunes and constantly staying in connection to technology, which connects you to everyone else.
So this is one use of the human voice. And I noticed the Ketchak, the Ramayana monkey chant from Bali, something that I'm familiar with from decades ago. An extraordinary piece of music, an extraordinary piece of sound work. And I just want to start with that. And this is part of Nancy Lyon's choreography, music for Nancy Lyon's choreography. We'll come back and talk about that as soon as we listen just a bit. Can you imagine recording this?
Yeah, we
you did? This is a live recording in Bali, and you can hear this is kind of all the chorus, mm-hmm. And coming later in the recording, there's a storyteller who is very kind of gruff and evocative, mm-hmm. telling the story kind of in this very musical way, and then there are these choruses of this amazing rhythm. Yeah. That come back. And I've never seen the video of this, but you've seen the video, Nancy?
Yes, so we showed it to my dancers before we started.
How cool.
It was just exciting for them to see these people in large circles, concentric circles, doing all of this rhythmic movement and kind of led by a leader, a dance leader. Yeah, it was very exciting.
How many people are participating in this?
Well, in this particular section, there's 11. And
I mean in the original.
Oh, in the original, there's probably 50 to 100, I would say. Men, mostly young, but there's some elders who lead the tribe. And it depends on the version you see, but it's 50 to 100 men.
Okay, and so you have like 11 dancers, mm-hmm. Who are interpreting your dance to this.
Right, and I've made a real cultural shift with it because what they're doing is they're sitting on a couch, the 11 dancers, watching television. And it's like the Super Bowl, and they're doing this rhythmic dance. So I'm working with the idea of ritual in the old days, rituals now. So rituals now is you sit and you watch on your couch the Super Bowl, and you get excited and you get sad, and you get angry, and you get, you know, all these feelings that you have when you watch television, and you do it as a group. It's this communal, tribal experience of watching television.
Very exciting. Well, this is the centerpiece, from what I understand, of your piece.
Yes.
So it starts off with Hungarian Hummingbird from Well-Tempered Accordion by Guy Klusevsek.
Yes.
Should we just listen to that?
Yeah, he's an amazing accordion artist from the East Coast, works with dance a lot.
Mm-hmm. All right. Well, let's listen to a bit of this and to get a flavor. Amazing. Well, there's a huge diversity of music here.
Yes, yes.
just in your piece.
Yes, yes. And I was.
So what's happening here?
Yeah, in this part right here.
Yeah,
well,
for the dance.
This is kind of an ancient ritual. A lot of this whole piece is about rituals, and this is about an ancient ritual before cell phones, when women just danced without cell phones. Long ago.
What?
1970.
1990, maybe. Even.
1990.
Yeah, 1990. Yes. So there's a section of just people before cell phone dancing. And it's ancient accordion music. And Jess is actually in this one too, texting on the couch.
Yeah.
So there's a juxtaposition of ancient and contemporary going on.
This is so sweet. It's so interesting. We're talking about the 2012 Spring Dance Concert at Sonoma State University. Of course, it's Sonoma State University students. It's at Ever Be Person Theater, and it runs from April 20th through 28th. If you want more information, you can go to sonoma.edu/performing arts. One more time, sonoma.edu/performing arts. Performing arts, all one word. I want to hear track 4. This is Song of Songs by Joan Jean-Renaud. Mm-hmm. Jean-Renaud, former cellist for
Kronos
Quartet, and wonderful cellist indeed.
She is,
and wonderful composer, and here you hear it.
Yeah.
Song of Songs, of course, the book from the Bible, the Old Testament of the Bible, and just an extraordinary book of the Bible, and you hear the flavor of that there. What's happening in the dance here?
Well, there is a solo, and it's by a single woman who is like a shamanistic character, and she draws everyone together with her kendall. And the piece is called Kendall the Home Fire. You'll have to see it.
There's some humor in here. I hear it coming.
There's a lot of humor in the whole concert.
Yeah.
All right. Well, it's the 2012 Spring Dance Concert, April 20th through 28th at Everett B. Person Theater, Sonoma State University. It's dancers from Sonoma State, one of whom is our guest today, Jessica Houston. Thanks for coming.
Thanks for having us.
And also with us, Kristen Daly, whose mic is not on, and Nancy Lyons, thank you for being my guest.
Thank you for having us, Charles. Appreciate
it, Charles.
Thank you.
My pleasure. For more information, you go to sonoma.edu/performing arts. That's sonoma.edu/performing arts. It's the 2012 Spring Dance Concert, April 20th through 28th at Everett B. Person Theater. More information, sonoma.edu/performing arts. I'm going to say that one more time. Sonoma.edu/performing arts. I'm Charles Sipos. It is Curtain Call on KRCB Santa Rosa. Have a pair of tickets to give away. We'll take call in number 625-84-2020. It's your choice of performances of the 2012 Spring Dance Concert at Sonoma State University. It's at Everett B. Person Theater, April 20th through 28th. Your choice of performance for a pair of tickets. Call in number 6 gets the tickets. 584-2020 is the number to call.
Charles Sipos is a composer and teacher of piano composition theory and music appreciation throughout the North Bay. Information at transcend.com, TRANSCEND.com.